Hello, folks. The first set of week four readings begins with a couple handouts. The first is a handout on rules of grammar. I want you to familiarize yourself with the 10 rules that I explain with a number of PowerPoint slides that I've put into a PDF file. I give you a lot of background information to try to clarify these different rules that I want you to be able to apply in your writing for the term paper project. Similarly, beyond thinking about sentence level errors and improving our writing at the sentence level, that second handout on proper rules of citation is essential for you to make sure that you're giving credit where credit is due and avoiding problems of plagiarism. So I want you to be able to know the difference and to be able to understand how the citation rules differ for quotes, paraphrases, and summaries. Familiarize yourself with these rules so that you're making sure that you're giving credit where credit is due for the authors that you're incorporating into your writing, regardless of how you're using these different sources. This is going to end up being between the two, grammar and proper rules of citation, a fifth of your term paper grade. So make sure that you're taking these quite seriously. With the substantive readings for this first section, then we have Singer's influential article titled Famine, Affluence, and Morality, and Hardin's controversial article titled Lifeboat Ethics. Both authors engage the problem of global need and the merits of redistributing resources, which is to say more broadly, engaging the question of whether or not we have obligations to those in need. And both authors uniquely center their arguments around a particular example to motivate the conclusion that they're trying to defend. And in this regard, I want you to be able to explain the details of Singer's shallow pond example. Beyond being able to explain the characteristics or the parameters of the example, I want you to be able to explain what the major takeaway or the major lesson of the example is, and to be able to explain what type of rhetorical appeal this is and whether or not Singer is successful in making his argument or in his writing style in employing this type of rhetorical strategy. What would the motivation be, in other words, of centering your argument around a particular example in this way? If we consider that Singer's central claim is that wealthier countries have an obligation to assist those in need, we have an obligation as wealthier countries to redistribute some of our resources, as has been the trend throughout the semester, I want you to be able to explain a number of reasons or pieces of evidence the author, in this case Singer, uses to support the truth of his claim. And I want you to be thinking about the warrant for his argument. Again, most of these arguments, whether implicit or explicit, are founded on some particular value, some particular central idea, and these authors construct their argument around this particular assumption. It's often that warrants are not defended. It's often the case that they're not even made explicit. And most of you have been doing a terrific job identifying warrants for these different arguments, and I just want you to continue that mindset. And also be thinking about how you're going to explain the warrant for your own argument in your term paper. I also want you to be thinking about how Hardin, who again argues the antithetical position that Singer does, how Hardin would object to Singer's argument. The objection could be to a conclusion, to a piece of evidence, to a particular reason, to a problematic implication of the argument. Hardin and Singer both incorporate into their article a discussion of various objections to their position, so they give you the material to work with. But the point of having you read these two authors is to have you start thinking about how you're going to approach your own objections or the objections to your own position in your term paper. And this is a unique situation in which you have authors speaking about the same subject, and you can use this as motivation to be thinking about how each would respond to the other's objection, and I want you to put them into this type of dialogue together. Lastly, in thinking about our working list of principles of good writing, I want you to be able to explain at least two characteristics of good or bad writing that you see in Singer's article. With regard to Hardin's piece then, similarly, I want you to be able to explain the details of his lifeboat example. He has this concept, for instance, of complete justice, complete catastrophe, that this is one of the lessons that we learned from this example, and I want you to be able to explain what that is. Similarly, though, beyond being able to explain the details of the example and the major lesson we're supposed to take away from this, I want you to be able to explain again what type of rhetorical appeal this is, and whether or not you think Harden's employing this rhetorical strategy, making this rhetorical appeal, is successful, and be able to explain why or why not. Harden's central claim is going to be opposite to Singer's. Harden claims that wealthy countries should not redistribute resources to the poor, and he makes a very provocative argument to this regard, or in this vein, and I want you to be able to explain three reasons or pieces of evidence he uses to support the truth of this claim, that we do not have obligations of justice to redistribute resources to the poor, and be thinking about what the warrant for his argument would be. Also, I want you to then do the same as you did with Singer. I want you to think about how Singer might object to Harden. Put them into this same dialogue again. There's plenty to work with. Again, I don't really care what it is you focus on. The argument has numerous components. You can find an objection to any of these components, and you can, it doesn't have to be an objection Singer notes specifically. You can just be thinking about how someone who supports Singer's argument might respond to Harden. And lastly, I want you to be similarly thinking about characteristics of good or bad writing that you see in Harden's article, be able to articulate a couple of these. As I said, these two pieces are intended to have you start thinking about the approach you're going to take in explaining and refuting objections to your position in your term paper. So at the end of the reading notes, I give you a reminder on how I would like to have you approach objections to your arguments. This is one of the components of the term paper, and it's a central component that I really don't feel that as writers we can make strong arguments without thinking about alternative or opposing positions to our arguments and be able to explain why ultimately they are wrong. So in this regard, I'm just reminding you all that you are going to be required to engage two possible objections to your argument. And again, this can focus on the thesis that you're trying to defend. It can focus on a particular reason that might be problematic, or a piece of evidence or a case study that you ultimately incorporate to motivate the truth of your claim, or it could highlight some problematic implication of the argument. You can an objection needs to be specific, and it needs to focus on one of these different components. That said, you need to be thinking about the strongest possible objection to your position you can think of. The point of these is not to find weak objections that you know are wrong, that you have responses ready to level against it to show how they're wrong. The point is to really think about some of the weaknesses of your argument and to, in a very thoughtful, thorough way, show how a reasonable person could ultimately object to your argument. So in this way, I want you to be able to, beyond explaining what the objection is, I want you to be able to explain in detail why the counterargument or the objection is plausible. Why would a reasonable person accept the objection as true? Once you explain why the objection is strong, then I want you to be demonstrating why it's or how it's weak. Ultimately, you can't leave your discussion of a possible weakness to your argument as showing its plausibility. Otherwise, that gives the reader the impression that ultimately your argument is wrong. You need to bring the discussion full circle and to say, despite the fact that this objection is reasonable, this objection is strong, I'm going to explain to you why ultimately it is wrong and my claim or my argument is compelling.